May. It is the month of the muse. Here we are.
And it is so hot in New York. We were joking this morning. We're like, oh, we skipped spring. We went straight from, it was 30 degrees and I was wearing my winter coat to now it's a hot Indian summer.
Now it's 90.
It's 90 degrees.
Well, you know what? Things are heating up.
Oh, I love it when things get hot.
I know you do.
All right.
All right. I just got back from another little whirlwind trip to Paris, and it was raining and in the 50s there, and I came back to this gorgeous 90 degree heat. So it's all the adjusting and all the sleeping.
Yeah, just letting our bodies do whatever they're gonna do.
But you know what I always love about whether it's travel or a shifting, a transition, a change of a season, a change of a moment? It always, when you get knocked a little bit off your center, you always see how much you cling to what you think your center is.
Ooh, that's good.
So you always think, well, I'm just someone who needs a lot of sleep. And then I think of all the new moms who just say, wow, I just haven't slept in so long that I no longer, my center no longer is I'm someone who needs a lot of sleep because my center moved.
Yeah.
Or I think about when you start to really clean up your eating, for example, and let's say you stop eating sugar, and all of a sudden your new center becomes that you don't eat sugar. So then when you do eat sugar again, that's no longer your center.
Uh-huh.
So it's just an interesting thing to know that the target is always moving. So for us to just go, okay, here I am, new place, it's hot today.
I always think how the divine wants us to know that it is our center.
Yeah.
And that center then can go anywhere with us.
Mm.
So whether we are going to extreme heat or extreme cold, or I think about when I'm doing in tech and just like crazy long hours, no sleep, huge pressure, lots of people breathing down your neck. It's like I could go anywhere and do anything because I know my center always goes with me.
Yeah. And it's actually, I think it takes a lot of pressure off when you know that the target always moves.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You don't have to stand in one place and hit it, or you don't have to worry about it missing you. You know, it's like we can live our lives and make mistakes and be messy and be all over the place, and it's still there.
And it's always still there.
It's where we are.
We're always still okay.
It's like Dorothy clicking her heels.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, that had nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today.
But it was just like a lovely intro.
Usually we sing and act crazy.
Everyone's like, I'm so glad they didn't sing.
You know how often I think that? How I'm like, I wonder if I feel the instinct to fast forward through that part. I wonder if other people do.
You can let us know, friends. You can let us know.
Oh, we're very open to feedback.
We'll also take requests if there's a song that you'd like to hear.
Yeah, if there's a song you'd like to hear or if there's a topic that you would love, you can go on our Create Community Facebook page and you can throw topics at us and mm-hmm. nothing would delight us more.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I want to tell everyone how Natalie came into my apartment this morning with cue cards and was like, I had a download. I know what we're talking about today. Get ready.
Natalie is still in Paris time. Natalie woke up at 4:30 this morning and I had this moment where I love it when you know you have 3 hours ahead of you,
mm-hmm.
and it's just time with the birds singing in the morning, and there's something about carving out that space where all of a sudden there's lots of stuff that happens. So I was sitting down to do my meditation this morning, and all of a sudden all these ideas started coming in, and 8 minutes into my meditation, I had to get up and start writing things down because
yeah.
I knew like if this much information came in 8 minutes, by the time my 20 minutes is done, I will have lost the first part.
Uh-huh.
So I had this really fun process where I was back and forth between sitting with my eyes closed and then frantically looking for a cue card. So it was a very frenetic meditation this morning, but I learned a lot, so I wanted to share. What came to me this morning was a conversation about creativity and about the essence of creativity. Now, philosophy talks about universals or these kind of truths or absolutes that are things like freedom and love and beauty. So beauty can express itself in a flower, in Kristen's beautiful face, but beauty itself is like a universal concept. It's not something that is in itself a form, although it can be expressed and manifest in form. So creativity is the same thing. Creativity is this thing that you can't hold. In the same way you can hold a pencil, you can't hold creativity.
Right.
It's not like a table or a chair. But it can manifest itself as something in form through us, because we are both form and formless. We are both the entity of the universal, the absolute, that which doesn't change and doesn't die, Purusha, soul, spirit, cosmic consciousness. And we are form. We are bones and blood and tissues and eyeballs. So because we are both, we have the power to hold both in this world of form. So it made me start thinking about creativity as both a manifestation, because that's what we're all about. We want to take these sparks, these ideas, these inspirations, and we want to make them into something, right? You have an idea for a screenplay, you want to write it and have it win an Oscar. You know, you have an idea of the perfect romantic partner, you want them to show up and then you date them and marry them, you know?
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like fun. So we understand what creativity looks like in form, how it expresses itself in form, but I wanted to understand more deeply what creativity was as an absolute, as a universal idea. And what came to me this morning is that creativity has two expressions in that form, in that absolute form, which is construction and destruction. So at first, it didn't really make sense to me that creativity is an act of destruction. Because it always feels like the creative process is about making something, not about tearing something down. That feels like it's not creativity. That feels like it's something else. It feels like it's annihilation. It doesn't feel like it's transformation. But what came to me today was this idea of, if you are not actively creating something, then your creativity is actively destroying something. Because creativity has to be in constant movement. It can never be still or in stasis. It is always an energy that is like air, that you're always taking an inhale and then an exhale. There's never a moment when that next inhale isn't coming at the end of the exhale. It always has to keep moving. So if we are not using our creativity consciously, then it will continue to be used. And I think what I was thinking about this morning is, how many of us have a lot of excuses of, I can't be creative
because
X, Y, or Z. But X, Y, or Z is actually your creativity manifest because you are not actively creating.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are not using our creativity consciously, our creativity will continue to be a motor that is running, but if we can't use it to build, it will start to destroy things, not to punish us, but to get our attention.
Yeah, that's right.
To say, I am an energy that can do stuff for you. And if you don't want me working for you, then I'm gonna go over here and mess stuff up. But I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm doing it to clear away, to destroy everything that's in the way of you knowing who you are as a powerful creator.
It makes me think about disease. Our body gets into disease when it wants to get our attention, right? To say, let's create another way.
Yeah.
Right? So if we can think about that in our own lives, of when things start to get pulled away or they start to explode or implode, it's life being a great editor.
Ooh.
Right? So think of it, when we have a creative project, we have to go through sometimes when we're writing a script and start to edit. So after we've done a very messy first draft where we let ourselves play on the page and just let ourselves be entertained and be silly and write from our 4 or 5 year old self, then at some point we have to come in as the great editor and start to cut away, right? And that's when we're holding each attribute of creativity, one in each hand.
Yeah.
But what can happen is, if we are doing a creative project or living our lives and we are not being the great editor, life will come in and edit for us.
Yes, yes. Isn't that so the thing of, we talked about this in our attachment episode, of if we are not actively willing to look at our attachments will be taken from us,
yeah,
so that we point our gaze in that direction.
Yeah.
It isn't a punishment. It's that all of form manifest is designed to show us either what we are or what we are not.
It's there to serve us.
It's there to serve us.
It's showing us who we truly are.
Exactly. So the energy of creativity. Now, we're not saying everyone listening to this podcast, go be an actor, go be a singer, go write a screenplay. What we are saying is that every single one of us has creative life force in us. And we can use this energy to construct anything we want. And if we are not using that energy to build something, then that energy still must move.
Yes.
So it will start destroying the things that are in the way of us building.
I think of it this way. Life, universe, the source of love, gets us pregnant with a vision, right? It gives us a vision of what our life could be. It gives us a dream. And then our job is to point in that direction and take a step in that direction. And you always know what the next step is to take because it's obvious.
Yes.
The universe has never been like this obtuse force.
Right.
Right?
Like guessing game.
Guessing game.
I hope they figure it out, silly human.
Right. And the reason we think it's obtuse and we think it's hazy is because we're trying to see 5 steps, 10 steps,
yes,
as opposed to, I'm giving you one, baby.
Well,
you take that one.
We have the one, and we don't like that one.
We always have the one.
It looks too small. It looks too irrelevant. It doesn't look like it's going to make money.
Yes.
So that's the step we don't want to take.
Yes.
We're like, show me the flashy step. Show me the step that's going to lead to a paycheck. Show me a step that's going to, like, get me the hot date.
Show me the step that's going to turn me on.
Exactly.
Like, and then I'll go, oh, show me the step that's a sure thing.
Yes. And isn't that so transactional with the universe?
Ugh.
It's like, We pray, we ask, we beg for a step.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the step. I don't like that one. Can I have another one?
Always.
And then we're upset that nothing is moving. Well, as soon as we get into stasis with our dreams, as soon as we stop moving, as soon as we start being resistant to whatever step is in front of us,
mm-hmm,
then the natural path of destruction must emerge.
Stephen Pressfield has this wonderful thing he talks about, and I can't remember at this moment if it's in The War of Art or if it's in Turning Pro. I think it's in Turning Pro, where he talks about addiction. And that often when we're not doing our dream, our dharma, our purpose on the planet, our letting our creativity, our life force express itself, that we then will create an addiction to hide in and kind of waste some of that creative life force in.
Yes, and we can think about these addictions as both things like substances,
uh-huh,
and people.
Yes.
You know, getting lost in caretaking to someone or getting lost in that, you were talking about this morning, that person that's always the drama queen.
Yes.
That there's always a problem. They always need you. There's always someone to bail out. There's always some conversation to have.
There's a crisis, and that is their creativity creating drama because,
yeah,
they won't actually show up for their dharma.
Right, right. And, you know, it's a funny thing because I used to live in a really small town, and some of what I started to notice and experience when I started actually doing more creative projects is that I used to really be someone who, like, with my girlfriends would gossip about other people. You know, and we would sit around and talk about, well, this is what this person is doing, and this is what this person is doing, and this is what this person is doing. And something I noticed in myself, and part of it, of course, is maturation, but something I noticed in myself is my conversations as I started being a creator started revolving around, here's what I'm excited to create, here's what I'm writing, I'm interested in what you're creating, I'm interested in what it turns you on and excites you. And I remember you and I having dinner one night and you saying, what do you think isn't on TV that would be really amazing right now? And that was the seed of you starting to write this really cool TV show. And it came out of, we're more interested in talking about what we want to create than using our words to tear someone else down or destroy something. And it's really interesting because I feel like gossip is a really obvious form of destruction because it is a way to distract ourselves from our dharma, to talk about what everyone else is not doing.
Yes.
When we're not doing what we're here to do, because we're too busy talking about them.
Yes. I love how the New York siren in the background,
yes,
is like, this is it.
This is the truth.
Highlight and underline.
Always. It always happens.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that, about the ways destruction will show up.
Yeah.
And I think that often many of us have a story of when destruction is in our lives, we immediately feel victimized, and then we say, well, that's the reason I can't create.
Uh-huh.
But we want to start changing the lens to say, what if destruction is showing up not as an obstacle for you to overcome so that you can create? What if this destruction is showing up because you're not just creating? So the antidote to all of these destructive tendencies is lay down one brick.
Yes.
Take that one step. Just move the energy over to the side of creation, and these destructive habits will fall away on their own. It's like when we were teaching our prosperity course, there was this quote that we used, or it was a story, and it said, abundance and scarcity are the only two cities where anybody lives, and there is a river between them, and the river is one thought wide.
That's right.
So whether you feel in scarcity or abundance is one thought away, and you can quickly move to one or the other. And even if you've been living in scarcity for a very long time, you're still one thought away from getting back to abundance. It's just what your habit is.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the ones that I was thinking about for myself, when creative destruction is showing up in my life, I'll procrastinate. I'll often describe it as hovering above my dreams, or looking down at it, thinking, well, I really want that thing, but it feels far away. Or I would love to do this more often, but I just don't get the opportunities. Sabotaging, feeling lethargic, or using even tired as an excuse. Apathetic, ostracization. Did I say that word right? Ostracization. I feel like I'm not saying it right. People can tell me how to say words. But basically making yourself the outsider, choosing that, creating that, and then being upset that that's happening. Planning and organizing, which we're going to talk a little more about. Negative self-talk. Mistrust. Really thinking the universe isn't for me. So I'm not even willing to, even though I got that step, I'm not going to take it because I don't trust the universe is for me. Emotional elusiveness. Even with our dream, I don't really want that.
Oh, turning down the carrying volume.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Preoccupation and distraction. You know, too busy. I'll do it when my kids are older. I'll do it when this and that. And then this was one that really resonates with me. The energy of always working but never completing. So there's always more to do.
Yeah.
But I never get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get to a point of, what's the point?
Because there's no finish line, right?
Right.
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 Well, one of the things that I just started a new online writing class, and one of the first tools that we put in is 15 minutes a day. We're just going to show up for 15 minutes a day, because everyone has 15 minutes to, as you say, lay down a brick.
Yeah. One brick.
One brick. And it doesn't even have to be a good one.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be
pretty
or perfect.
And you can take it out after.
Right.
It doesn't have to stay.
Yes. And I always like to think that creativity is the divine's gift to us to entertain us. Because something happens when someone allows themselves to be free in the creative process. It's almost like the universe is tickling you or entertaining you or seducing you. Creativity is there as a gift for us, as it's also a gift for the world.
Right. And if it doesn't feel like a gift for us, then it can't possibly feel like a gift when it comes through us.
That's right. It's
like when Abraham Hicks says, you can't have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You can't be miserable the whole way and expect that at the finish line it's going to feel great.
That's right. So one of the things that we do is, right before we do our 15 minutes, we do a prayer. And that prayer can be to anyone. It can be to God or your higher self or to Mother Nature. But it's just saying, use me. I'm giving you this next 15 minutes to use me. And that allows us to get free of our ego or our inner critic, or to bless the time that is in front of us and then see what happens. But I find that whenever I say my prayer, it like kicks the ass of my negative thoughts.
Sure. Yeah.
And I really do feel something inside of me open and expand, and it gets really exciting.
So it's the thing of, our habits, our samskaras, our patterns have led us to a place where we're constantly actually in a destructive mode.
Yes.
And so we have to consciously say, I'm going to take the car off this road and go down a different road.
Yes.
So that creativity can be free. And the image that came to me this morning, even when we were talking, was a wrecking ball.
Mm-hmm.
That creativity is meant to be a bird in flight. It is meant to have nothing in front of it. It's just open sky. It wants to fly. It wants to swoop. It doesn't want to be encumbered. It doesn't want to be tied down. It doesn't want to be in a cage. It doesn't want any conditions on it. It just wants to free fall. So what happens is when we put something in front of it, like if creativity is ready to go, your project is ready to be written, your creativity is ready to flow somehow through you, and you put, well, I don't know how to get the money. Or you put, well, I don't know how long it's going to take. Or I don't know where the finish line is. If you put any condition or form in front of it, then all of a sudden the energy of creativity, which is this construction, flying, free energy, must shift immediately into this wrecking ball energy that just has to destroy and destruct everything that you've just put in front of it.
Uh-huh.
So that it can then be free again and unencumbered so it can do what it wants. But you can imagine if every time your creativity goes for its morning flight, it keeps having to change its path to destroy, to destroy, to destroy, it's going to take a lot longer.
Yes. Well, I find in working with creatives that people feel that they are not worthy of their dream. They feel that there is something missing or broken or imperfect about them that makes them have to work hard
to earn it. Yeah,
right?
To be deserving of it.
So that need to earn it or deserve it makes them micromanage and try to control their creativity. So instead of allowing that creativity just to flow through them and take them somewhere else, they're like squeezing down on it, trying to manipulate how it happens.
Yeah.
So think of an actor in audition who's like made so many choices and decided how they're going to say every line, and that keeps them from being able to be present, just to be inspired in the moment. Creativity is spirit in motion, so you can't pre-plan it. It comes and it does something you never saw coming.
Yes.
You and I were talking about, it's almost like that in romantic relationships.
Yes.
As if you were going to go on a date and be like, I'm going to pre-plan every single moment.
When they turn to kiss me, I'm going to turn my head 45 degrees and it's going to be the perfect angle. And then I'm going to pucker my mouth just like this. It's like, it'll be the worst kiss of your life.
Right.
Because you're not a robot.
Right. You're not being open and letting it move you. Spirit always wants to move through us, which means we must be open, and that takes trust.
Yeah.
You only get that trust by opening yourself again and again and again, and you start to realize, oh, every time I don't pre-plan, every time I just show up and allow, every time I let go of control and allow myself to be used by the creative force, something bigger and better comes through me.
Yes.
And then we realize it's not about being worthy. We were born worthy. Our vessel is already perfect. We don't have to manipulate this. We just have to show up and allow.
Yeah, it's like we just have to keep the path clear.
That's right.
So this led me in my exploration to think about the deities,
mm-hmm.
the Hindu deities, mm-hmm. which I love. It's almost like I heard once that a myth is a conscious lie told to reveal a deeper truth.
That's right.
And I love that idea, that fairy tales, mythology, it's that we tell these stories to reveal a deeper truth than some blue person in the sky, right? So in the deities, Brahma is the great creator. It's the great creative force. So you can think of that as God, universe, Mother Nature. But it's almost like, if you're a writer and all of a sudden you get an idea and it comes from nowhere, that's Brahma. That's creative source energy, and it drops inside of you. And then in order to take something from that idea, from that inspiration, into actual manifestation, so creativity as a process goes from inspiration to manifestation. That process then must go from creator, from idea, from spark, into this dance of Shiva and Shakti. And so the Lord Shiva is actually called the creative destroyer, and it's the masculine. And Shiva isn't about annihilation or It is truly about transforming something. It's like the word in yoga, tapas, is to cook or to thirst. And it's like to cook something, to take a piece of raw meat and to cook it, it changes it. It transforms it into something else. It hasn't destroyed it. It's made it something different than it first came. So the inspiration as comes from creator, as comes from source, isn't meant to manifest as that. It's meant to be transformed inside of the vessel of you into something else. So it's not like, let me just not ruin this idea. It's like, no. The idea is going to be transformed through coming through you. That's the whole point. Otherwise, it would have been given to someone else. So of course you're already worthy of it because you got it.
That's right. I like to say to my writers, you're not here to figure out your screenplay. Your screenplay came here to figure out you.
Yeah.
It's here to transform you. So even if that's I'm building a restaurant, I'm building a business, it knows what it's doing with you. And you have to let it have its way with you.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean we do no planning or create no structure.
Absolutely.
My parents used to say as teachers that they would create a lesson plan but then show up in the classroom and be willing to let it go.
Yes.
It's like how you break down a scene, but then you show up on set and you're reacting to what's happening in the moment.
That's right.
So it's always, in this paradoxical universe, both and.
Both and. And so when we think of Lord Shiva, he's meant to destroy the blocks that are against our creativity.
Yes.
He's meant to move things out of the way. He's meant to mess it all up. He's the one that's meant to get this shitty first draft outside of us. And we call him the wielder of power. So it's like Shiva receives from Brahma this idea and he takes it with power and says, here's what we're going to do with it. That's like the kind of like planner,
mm-hmm.
right? Then the goddess Shakti, that hot little sexy minx, is the director of the power. She's the one that dances with it and lets it move and lets it become something different in form. And so it's like we talk all the time about the masculine and feminine, the masculine being the action steps you take, but the feminine being like the one that listens, that hears the right step to take, that knows exactly where to move it. So what we are called to do is say, the great creator, whatever we think of that is, cosmic consciousness, is always going to drop into us exactly what we are the perfect vessel for.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to dome this dance, this Shiva Shakti energy, where we know ourselves as the one powerful enough to hold this and the one who knows exactly where to direct our energy to give it its life on this planet. And so anytime we have that question, then it's just our job to say, well, let me look around my life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just look around. Let me see what's happening. Let me feel. Let me know that whatever is being destroyed from my life is being destroyed to help this thing become manifest.
That's right. And we can actively use the powers of construction and deconstruction in our own life. So where am I being called to create something new, to construct a new idea, a new form, a new piece of art? And where am I being asked to deconstruct something?
Yeah.
So to look at this negative thought pattern, to look at this habit that maybe wants to be cleared, to look at my first draft and see where the edits are.
To see where I'm inconsistent.
Mm.
To see where I'm all in and then I get scared and pull back.
Mm-hmm.
To see where I have so much destruction within myself that I don't want to look at, that I keep blaming all the deconstruction I see everywhere else.
And the universe is kind and it is loving. So if we ask to be partners in deconstruction and say, show me how to be a good farmer of my life.
Mm.
Show me how I can take up the weeds in my life so I can let these flowers blossom.
Yeah.
And let it be obvious and give me the tools.
And I think for me, what's become really obvious with some big auditions I've done lately, with a lot of travel I've done lately, some relationships that I've been navigating through, is there has been some real big destruction in my life recently. And the answer every time is just don't get attached to it. Know that whatever's going away is everything that isn't you, and everything that remains is you and going to attract more that is in alignment with you. So can you stay open in this Shiva Shakti dance to say, everything that gets destroyed is for me, everything that gets created is for me. So I can love life exactly as it is. You know, you can literally be signing papers that you don't want to sign. You can be thinking you might have to move. You can, you know, be dealing with a really big crisis and say, this is for me too. This is for me too. This is for me too. And my only job is to not cling to what I think is the highest way. My job is to be open to a way that I can't see yet, because out of the rubble of the destruction is actually the diamond I've been looking for.
That's right.
And we were talking about something, we get into this habit of chasing the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think about it, like, if you want to find a love, you chase the diamond.
Yeah.
You just, the whole point, like, on your first date, you're already thinking what the engagement ring's going to look like what your dress is going to look like.
Right. And it's the same thing as, like, chasing the Oscar or chasing the paycheck.
Yes.
Right? It's chasing the outcome.
Chasing that house that mm-hmm. must be your house.
Yeah.
I mean, I had this experience recently where the stars were so aligned for this thing to be mine. And it was so obvious and it was so universally and spiritually perfect that mm-hmm. I knew it was mine. And it wasn't mine. And it was never mine. And I didn't get it. And it was never mine in the first place. And it felt so destructive to my soul to have to, quote unquote, let it go. But it was never mine. That's right. I was chasing a diamond that was always meant for someone else's finger, and it caused me pain. So my job is to say, in the rubble of the destruction at my feet, there's gold there if I stop chasing that other diamond.
That's right. Spirit is always trying to get us to let go of form. And one of the prayers I like to invoke is, may I be responsible for the energy that I bring, and will you take care of the form?
Oof.
Knowing that spirit always knows the best form for everything in my life, but my job is to keep my focus on what is the energy that I'm bringing to this situation, to this relationship, to this creative project.
Yeah.
Because if I just focus on the energy I'm bringing, that'll take up all my time.
It'll take up all your time.
I won't have time to get attached to the form because
right.
I'll be more focused on the quality of the energy that I am bringing.
Well, that is how you move the energy. You focus on the quality, not the quantity.
Oh.
That is it. How fun.
Good job.
How fun that we can live in a world where we know that everything that gets destroyed is a great thing for us.
Look, at something's being destroyed. Let's
Yay!
Throw a party. I mean, that's really hard to do in the moment.
Of course.
But it's always, always for us.
It's always a possibility to don that I'm willing to believe that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it can give us enough space from whatever the thing is that feels really hard and scary to perhaps be able to see with a new perspective.
Yes.
And sometimes we're not meant to have that perspective right in the moment. But if we can just trust that it is for us, and we can trust that we can take one step in the direction of loving what is, whether it is something that feels expansive or something that feels really contracting. If we can take a stand to say, I'm going to do my best to see all of this is for me, whether it hurts, whether it feels great, then we start to change our inner landscape, and then the outer landscape has to match.
It's always going to reflect what we're bringing.
There's this beautiful thing. I may have said it on the podcast before, but I had a teacher say to me once, Natalie, you know it's an inner game because when you look in the mirror, it doesn't smile until you do.
Ooh, I love that.
You look in the mirror and smile, and your reflection will smile back. But it's just our job to smile first. We can't expect that reflection back to look at us with love if we don't look at it with love.
And bringing that love. I like to encourage creators, and in doing so, I'm encouraging myself, to allow creativity to be fun and for its own sake.
Yeah.
To be like this little romance and love affair that I am having with Brahma, that I'm having with the divine. It's coming through me to make my life beautiful. And if I can focus on this fun interplay that we are having, whether it is a whisper to get some flowers for the table or how to cook a meal or a little fun, silly thing to say inside of a scene, that if I am delighted by the in-the-moment relationship I am having with my creativity, form will take care of itself.
Form will take care of itself.
Yeah.
Isn't that great that that's not our job?
Ugh.
Oof.
What a load off.
What a load off. Well, friends, we hope you have fun in your creation or destruction this week. Whatever it is for you.
It is the month of the muse.
It's the month of the muse, so she's going to have her way with us.
And all your job is with the month of the muse is to follow inspiration.
Oh, there's nothing more fun than that.
See where it leads you.
See where it leads you. And maybe it's going to lead you to come to Italy with us. If you're interested, check out thecreateseries.com. It could be a good time.
We love you. We love your creativity. We love your expression. And we love you being our friends. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!